Welcome back to the Injury Report.
So good to be here.
I started the pod mid Amelia laughing because I was trying to be organic.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I was laughing. You hit record, at which point I took a sip of my second iced coffee of the day. So actually when this pod began, I think I was drinking coffee.
Is your mic on?
Yeah.
We're good. Then we're good. We're Gucci, baby. Welcome back to the Injury Report. We are the minor pain podcast. That's a major pleasure.
Exactly.
This is Amelia.
I'm Amelia. This voice right here, this is Amelia. And that voice across from me, you can't see how we're placed in this room. She's across from me. That's Maria.
That's Maria.
That's my buddy Maria.
We're friends. We get hurt constantly and we just need to talk about it. Both our physical hurts
and our emotional ones.
That's right.
And because I do have a physical injury, a noticeable, visible physical injury.
And I have seen it already.
Which I showed to Maria and she didn't even flinch. Like, you're getting tough doing this spot. But as I was like on my way over here, I was like, I hope this pod doesn't necessarily make me a magnet for injuries now that, like, on some level I am looking for...
To get hurt.
Content. Yeah.
When you get hurt, is your first thought like, yes?
I don't know if it's yes, but it's like, oh, this goes in the pod. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm happy about the injury, but they also do say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So my knee stands to be stronger after this, which can segue me into my physical injury for this fortnight.
For this fortnight. I almost forgot. We do come out every fortnight.
And we're using the technical term. we could be saying 2 weeks, but nope. You know what we're talking about.
It's a fortnight, baby. to give you a little insight, Amelia has a scraped up knee and it is pretty gnarly. And it looks like when a 14-year-old has played soccer really hard and they really fuck up their knee. Oh, is it a soccer
thing?
Well,
guess where I got it,
no
Maria.
Way! I'm sorry.
Guess where I got it.
I didn't know that.
Okay. And so what we call it in the soccer realm, okay, what we call the kind of injury I have, we call that a raspberry.
Wait, really?
That's called a raspberry, yeah. Because when you first get it, you've basically like sheared off the top layer of your skin and it's very just like bright red when you first, when it's brand fresh new.
And then all the players blow on your stomach.
Is that what also what raspberry
That's also
is
called that? A raspberry.
Oh, okay.
Continue.
Okay. Interesting. I also call this injury a raspberry. That's what my girls back in the day, we all played soccer. So I grew up playing soccer pretty seriously. And I just played my first game last week on a full-size soccer field in like over a decade. It was exhilarating, but also I realize I have the muscle memory of an athlete, but the conditioning of a cigarette-smoking comedian, which is what I am right now. So I'd be out there, and, like, my body and my brain knows exactly what I want to do, but no. My brain knows what I want to do.
Okay.
And my body is telling me, we cannot absolutely not do that right now. Like, we literally physically can't. Always, like, going into something going, listen, I got this. And my body's like, no, we don't. We don't stretch. We don't stretch. We don't work out. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But it's because I grew up an athlete. Oh, yeah. We mentioned this.
I love that for you.
Me to myself. Yeah, so this is going to be a theme. So I'm like, you know, I'm playing this game. I can play about 5 minutes because I'm going to play fully intent. Like, I'm going to play as hard as I can. And I've only got about 5 minutes in me, and I don't really even have 5 minutes. By the 4 minute mark, it's alarms going off in my head, like, get off the field.
You just mean, like, from a tiredness?
Yes, exhaustion. Okay. Like, I'm playing, like, 5 minutes, and I'm feeling nauseous. It's hard to breathe in. Like, my chest is, like, my lungs are freaking out. They're going, what's happening? And so I got this raspberry. I think towards the end of the game, I was like running so hard to get to a ball before another player. Mm-hmm. And I literally don't have the energy in me. And I just fling my body at the ball and I do pass it to somebody else, but I'm not able to like receive it and like dribble it down the line. But I just like hurl my whole body at it because that's all I had left in the can.
Hell yeah.
And I got up with this raspberry on my knee.
Okay, did it kind of feel good, though? Badge of courage.
It didn't even hurt, Maria.
Yes!
And I'm going to tell you the truth, it didn't even hurt. And then I didn't even realize I had it. And then, the game was over, I'm on the sideline, I'm taking off my shin guards and stuff, and I see it, and I'm like, We're back, babe. We are so back.
We are so back.
Even though we're literally not, because I have a ways to go before I can even... I'm never going to be what I once was. But just to be able to, like, not be only playing 5 minutes at a time, you know? Like, I stopped playing soccer because I tore my ACL. At 17, I tore my ACL and had an, you know, my knee is recovered. Like, I have full mobility in it. But when I get out and play soccer, and I don't know if this is real or psychosomatic at this point, but, like, when I get out there and play, it does feel a little bit, it just feels weak. It just, I'm just scared. Yeah. Like, I don't want to tear another ligament. So, like, I'm out there, I'm not conditioned. And then also my knee is like, don't move too fast. Don't cut too sharply, you know? Like, yeah. I remember how I used to do it. And I can't, and I'm just too scared to do that now.
Oh shit. Sorry. I will cut that out.
Maria is so flexible right now, you guys. She just moved her foot, tried to move it over the table and hit the computer.
You're
understand.
Welcome.
Her foot was all the way up there. Just understand.
It was way up high, touched the ceiling. I have something kind of like that when I was a kid. My parents live out in the country and their house is on this really big hill. And I used to love riding my bike. Oh my gosh. I had this, like, really cool old-fashioned bike with, like, a banana seat.
Okay,
And, like, mustache handlebars.
Wait. Okay, so I'm trying to imagine what that looks like.
I also started to describe the handlebars as mustache handlebars.
I can see
that. But that is how mustaches are described, not handlebars.
There's literally a handlebar mustache. I'm like, imagining the bike seats that I know, and I'm going, that's not a banana.
Okay.
Bananas are curved, convex.
It wasn't curved or concave. It was just, like, long. It was, like...
So a long, thin bike seat? It
yeah.
It sounds comfortable.
It was, like, an old... I don't know how to describe it. I'm going to Google and show it to you, and the listeners can imagine it. So I used to love riding my bike, and I would go down this big hill, and I remember, like, going as fast as I possibly could and having no fear, because nothing bad had ever happened. And then I went way too fast and I lost control and flipped off it and skinned my knees up really bad.
Whoa.
And ever since then, I can't really enjoy bike riding because it feels like that's going to happen again.
Oh, I mean, I believe that's called trauma.
Oh, no. No.
You were traumatized by that bike.
I don't think so.
It's the, you had the bad memory and now you're on the bike and you're going, oh no, the bad thing's going to happen.
Probably true. I sometimes think of, this is a little dramatic, but I sometimes remember that memory and it's like such a metaphor for like losing innocence or something. Like you can't ever go back to riding your bike as fast as you can, not knowing what could happen.
How old were you when this happened again?
I was probably like 11, 12.
It was, what would you say it was the first time you faced your mortality?
Ooh.
The first time you realized, I can injure myself.
Maybe. That's spooky.
I mean, that's... I remember my mom... We lived in a very hilly area growing up. And I was, like, 4 or 5. And my mom put, like, a kid bike seat on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen these before. Like, they strap a bike seat to a bike. And it's, like, for kids. It's like a car seat, basically. But it's on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And she would bike me down these hills to go to preschool.
Aww.
Yes. But also, I was... I was so scared. I did not trust the mechanics of the bike seat on the bike. I was just like, I feel like we're too back heavy on this bike. Like, I feel like this thing could fall off. I feel like she could fall over on this bike. Like, it was, and then going down the hills fast, like, I was scared at 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
That was like, and I didn't want to tell my mom I was scared of it because she loved biking me.
Yeah.
Too. But
you think in that moment, was it just a general fear or do you think you also were thinking about mortality?
You know what I bet you it was? I was not in control of the bike.
Ah.
She was biking and I was just like, probably how, like, similar to how I feel when I'm on a plane.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's how you described the plane thing.
On last episode?
Yeah, on the one we released.
We've done 3 episodes, only one's been released so far, and I don't know what I've covered in what.
It's okay. I'm loving it.
Listen, as my therapist said, if you need to say it again, there's a reason. Bring it back
up. Oh, that's sick. So, like, Let's go.
Sometimes with my therapist, I'll be like, I've probably told you this already. She's like, no, maybe you're going to look at it from a different angle.
She's right. She's honestly right.
This girl's McQueen, dude. I ride with her. I try to put all my friends onto her. She's worked for me so
much. Are you allowed to do that with therapists? I don't know if you are.
I don't know. But no, I mean, she worked for me. And so I'm like, do you need a good therapist? This girl, I love her.
Uh-huh.
And she's cool with it.
Yeah. I do that with my pelvic floor therapist. I tell everyone to go to Catherine, baby. Catherine rules.
So literally, I was at a show last night and the comedian did a bit about how, like, about trying to put us onto their pelvic floor therapist.
Okay.
Well, they were also like, everybody should be in pelvic floor therapy.
True. Oh, yeah. Oh, I so get this person.
Like I believe everyone should be in therapy, but now I'm realizing, and pelvic floor therapy.
Maybe everyone needs all of the therapies.
Let's all get therapized. Let's all be helping each other with our brains, our pelvis.
Our pelvis. My dad, I hate to do a HIPAA violation, but my dad has long COVID.
But here we go.
My dad has, like, long COVID, so he can't really smell anything anymore.
Oh, my God.
And his sense of taste has been, like, permanently changed. And for a while, he was going to different doctors trying to treat it, and they had him do, like, scent therapy. So they sent him home with all these, like, really strong essential oils. And he would have to, like, smell them periodically and try to, like, figure out, guess what they are. He was, like, trying to retrain his nose. Isn't that wild?
Has that been, like, actually working?
No.
No!
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Like, week after week, smelling the same essential oils. Like, no, still no.
Still can't smell lavender.
A friend of mine who is a, what's the word, a sommelier.
Mm, a wine person? Is that what
that
is?
Yeah, that's called a wine expert. Drop in casually that I know a sommelier personally.
Okay.
And I was at the home of this sommelier, not a big deal. But true, I was. And he also knows about, you know, food and flavors or whatever.
Oh, wait, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Is this the fancy party at work that you had with the rich people that you invited me to?
Oh, no. Okay, and this was my friend's work. That was my friend's work party. Different episode, different pod. We've actually not mentioned it on the pod.
Sorry, it's just us talking. I'm just pulling from our friendship now.
No. This episode will only be stuff we've already talked about. And every news story, not today. No. I'm going to save that one for a future. Maybe not.
Episode 3, it's just review of the first 2 episodes.
But from different angles. Okay? Same exact story, yeah. Fresh perspective.
Because, Amelia, if you have the urge to say it again, there's probably a reason.
New way to figure it out. A million different angles, same thing. Anyways, here I go telling a new story. I don't even want to do it now.
I want to hear it. I'm sorry.
But he was like, he had us, because we were talking about how taste is connected to scent, all that. And he had us eat a coffee because I forget what he said. I don't remember the details. Don't have a great memory. But he was like, there's certain flavors that you lose if you can't smell.
What?
It's not all the flavors. You can taste, like, base flavors, but, like, specialty flavors or whatever you lose. So we had us eat a coffee bean and, like, eat the coffee bean with our nose plugged. And as we're eating the coffee bean, unplug our nose, and suddenly you can taste it, like, a million times more. It was super cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. So try that at home, guys. You won't hurt yourself. You won't injure yourself.
It's not the cinnamon challenge.
No.
If you...
It's not life or death. It's not the cinnamon challenge.
So was that part of, like, wine tasting? Did you do it before wine?
He was also actually teaching us how to shuck oysters.
This
is the most interesting man in the world. But we can't have him on the pod, sadly, because he's not injured himself.
Oh, okay. So he's just, like, a well-put-together person.
You know what? I bet you he's injured himself in the kitchen at a restaurant or so. Okay. Let me get in touch with that guy.
Give him a call.
Listen, I have his number, and I can refer to him on a first-name basis.
Because, again, I don't know if you got this. She does know a sommelier.
Yeah.
And they're kind of buddies.
Well, I'm friends with a sommelier. I would say even more than I know him. I'm friends with him. Okay. I have his number. I text. We call.
No big deal.
Friends with his wife as well.
Okay.
It's not a big deal, though I do think that the first time I mentioned that, we should put that in the notes at the exact time. I do want people to know.
Amelia brings up her sommelier at 6:41.
First time in the injury report existence that I've mentioned my sommelier friend. It's not going to be the last. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what right now. It's not going to be the last time I bring that guy up.
Anyway, your poor knee.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, we talked about it. I got that. And what's weird is that it looks disgusting right now. Like, it starts, you know, a raspberry starts bright pink. And right now, it's brown.
It's kind of in the brown stage, I would say. A little scabby.
It's dark brown.
This is such a weird thought, but I swear to God, when I first saw it, I almost felt jealous. Is that weird? Because...
No, speak on it.
I felt like a nostalgia for being a kid and getting hurt because you're playing so hard, you know? I felt like, oh, I wish that I were a kid playing outside. But I don't, but you know what I mean?
You know what, Maria? You can be.
Okay.
You can be playing around outside if you want. You got to risk life and limb as an adult to do it. Mm. Sure. Like when I, you know, like I played this game last week, and the week leading up to it, I was like, I could lose everything.
Oh no.
I could lose everything when I play this. Cause I was like, I could, you don't, you know, now that you're an adult, you can take a step and break your ankle. You know, it's like, you don't even have to step weird. Mm-hmm. You know, like it can just happen, you know. I'm not trying to fearmonger, but like that kind of stuff happens, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going out there, I'm going to play a soccer game. If I tear a ligament at this age, it's going to be deeply upsetting to
you. You're okay, buddy. You're in your 30s. It's going to be all right. You're not 80 yet.
No, that's so true. But also, well, first of all, I was about to speak about an emotional injury that I did to myself. Oh, but I can't wait before to hear it. I do that, let's talk about a physical injury of yours from this last fortnight.
Oh, okay. When I go over the fortnight, this...
Let me just go back through the fortnight.
No, this happened to me on Tuesday. Here's my physical injury.
A week ago. So right in the middle of that fortnight that we're talking about.
Right in the middle of fortnight. I actually realized I'm wrong, and it was Wednesday. It doesn't matter at all. Especially because when we release this, it will super not matter. I was at an improv show because duh.
Mm-hmm.
And
Marie is a tremendous improviser, by the way.
Everybody. Oh, stop.
She's a tremendous improviser.
Thank you. Amelia is a tremendous improviser.
I'll call a spade a spade.
Okay.
Maria Block, tremendous improviser.
Stop.
I said it three times. Not the last time I'll say it.
Okay.
Not the last time I'll say it.
Amelia is very talented. I was not even performing at this improv show. I was just watching it. I was an audience member.
It wasn't even one of Maria's scores of shows that she has. She not only is she a tremendous improviser, y'all, she's a tremendous appreciator of the arts.
I'm a tremendous audience member. Yes, exactly,
which is almost, I would say, more important. I would say that's an even more important role. Because
essential.
Because who are we going to perform for if not
the audience?
The audience. Hmm. The audience makes it all possible, baby. Thank you to audience members far and wide. Please come to my shows. Please come to my shows. My improv team has a run of shows at Conservatory at noon Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Please come see those shows.
And I can't wait to watch. We love Hey at Toots.
And we're going to have Maria's two prov... Maybe this is too inside life, but like we're going to have Maria's two prov team on one of the nights. I can't remember.
Quesaria.
Yeah. Y'all should come see that. Please.
Anyway, moving on. I was at an improv show and I was at IO and I was eating a basket of chicken fingers.
They do have great food at IO, I'll say that. I'm not even paid to say that.
Have you had it lately? Might cut this out.
I had it like 2 weeks ago. I got a couple apps from the candlelight menu, you know?
Yeah.
I thought they were good.
Okay. What do you think the odds are if I say I don't like the chicken fingers that my comedy career is ruined? Probably low.
I would say very low. I would say if anything, we sometimes we criticize the things we love.
Yeah.
Because we want them to be better.
Oh, you hold your loved ones to a higher standard.
Well, that's right.
Okay.
And we love IO. I love IO as a theater.
I love chicken fingers.
Not to mention chicken fingers as well. And I love them too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you're doing a service to both IO and their menu.
Okay.
Right now. I think you're a hero.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did. So I ordered chicken fingers and they were okay. And they come in this like wire basket, you know? Can mm-hmm. you picture like that basket?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a sturdy metal. and it's hanging off the side of the table. And I have, like, friends on both sides of me, and I reach under the table to get my jacket. And, like an idiot, I have, like, no depth perception and no sense of where my body is in time and space. Yeah. And I, the basket's hanging off the edge of the table, and I bonked my fucking eye off the edge of the basket. And it basically went into my eyeball. Like, it was right here, and it made, like, and then I kind of cursed, so I kind of made a scene. But it was, like, surprisingly painful. And it was so funny because the two friends sitting next to me both immediately saw it and were cracking up. But then after it died down, one of them goes, "Hey, you can put that on the injury report."
Oh, hell yes!
I know!
Oh my, okay, love that. Okay, sorry to just focus, zoom in there on the injury report.
No, you got it. You got it.
But that sounds painful. Like, did it hit the wet part of your eye, or were your eyelids closed?
It hit, I would say, like, my brow bone and cheekbone.
Oh, thank God.
You know what I mean? It's not, like, pointy metal that went in my eye.
Yeah, right, in the eyeball.
But it was just, like, the edge of the metal went in my eye area, and I flinched.
Oof.
But, yeah, I loved the supportive friend knowing the name of my pod.
And knowing that would be a perfect thing to bring up
absolutely
on the pod. Absolutely. Shouts out to whoever you are when you listen.
I'm sure he's gonna listen.
Oh, hell yes.
Shout out. To be honest, it was more of an emotional injury than a physical, because I did feel embarrassed a little bit because I'm such a klutz.
You know what? They're both at once a lot of the times. Yeah. But I will say, when you injure yourself and people laugh, million times better than when you injure yourself and people are upset. Like, I've fallen in front of people before and they go, "Oh, are you okay?" And I'm like, no, please laugh. Like, please don't worry about me. Mm-hmm. Please laugh at what I'm going through, because it's twice as bad when you hurt yourself and then other people are stressed out about it.
Yeah. That's kind of like the little kid rule. Like, when you see a little kid get hurt, right, you have to act like you didn't see it for a second, because sometimes they start crying just because they saw you freak out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of a little kid expert.
Wait, do you have experience?
Not at all.
Oh, okay, so that was sarcasm?
Yeah, it was sarcasm. And something I learned for some reason at one point, but I'm, like, never around kids, really.
Well, I've noticed that when kids hurt themselves, I've, like, seen, like, I have a nephew, I've seen him since he was, born and stuff, and he would hurt him, he would get hurt, and he would look up right after he got hurt to see how we were reacting it, to go, "Oh, is this bad? Should I freak out about this? How should I react?" And we would always just be like, we would actually maybe support it too much. We would be like, yeah, like very smiley, very, like, pro. And he's actually not turned into a daredevil yet. He's only 9. Like, he's actually a pretty cautious kid, so we didn't mess up in that way.
Good.
But it was cool to see that his first reaction isn't, "I'm definitely going to cry." It was, "How are people reacting to this?
Am I hurt right now?"
Yeah, we're right. Got it. Is this bad? Is this bad? Should I be upset with myself?
What you would just said about you want people to laugh when you fall.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, just real quick, because I can't wait to hear about your emotional injury.
Yes.
My friend Zoe, shout out Zoe, who listens, by the way.
Hell yeah,
Hi,
Zoe.
Zoe is not an improviser, and she has been seeing a lot of improv because I see it constantly, so she'll come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And after a show once, she goes, "You know what I've noticed is that there's two types of laughs in improv, and when you see, like, a really good team, it's because they're making you laugh and they're being funny."
Yeah.
"But sometimes you're laughing at a bad team because they messed up." And I was like, "Zoe, we want them both.
We'll take the laugh.
Whatever. The mistakes are funny. That's the point."
I mean, and then this makes me think of Improvised Gladiators, where if you're a gladiator, which is a show at Conservatory, y'all should go check it out. It's very fun. And if you're on the gladiator team, you do, at the top of the show, the worst improv set anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
And people find that funny
when
you're doing improv intentionally bad.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, in an improv set scene too, when you make a mistake, I think when you call out the mistake, it's very funny.
Yeah, that's the point.
People laugh at
that. There are no mistakes, baby.
Yes,
we're
and
making
McQueen,
it up.
We're making it up as we go, which is life.
Ugh.
Which is what we're doing in life.
And you know what life gives you? Emotional injuries.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say lemons sometimes.
Also sometimes lemons.
And then
lemons.
You make lemonade. Also, I forget who I was saying this. I was telling someone about the pod, because we've been talking about it lately.
Yeah.
It's been in the zeitgeist, the injury report. It's been, people have been talking about it. I've been talking about it. someone, I was like, I'm doing it with my friend who I met. She's a, you know, an improviser. And she's like, oh, do you guys do improv on the pod? I'm like, yeah, we have a conversation.
I would call anybody. Exactly.
Every conversation is improv, is it not?
Yeah.
I'm
going to yes and that story.
Thank you so much.
How many people turned it off just now?
Like, this is too
improv. I can't
this
do
this. This is too inside improv.
Too much.
Emotional injuries.
I would love to hear yours.
Let's talk about it.
Let's get it done. Go for it, queen.
I would like to say that I do feel like this summer has injured me emotionally.
No, okay.
The weather, this, and I know this is not a popular take because everybody's favorite season seems to be the summer, okay? I actually have a very, very unpopular takes on Chicago weather, which I have discovered since moving to this town because I love the winter and nobody wants to hear about that.
No.
When I first moved here, I was like, the winter is so magical, thinking that people would like that or people would accept me or people would be okay. And not only do they not accept it, but it makes people upset to hear me say that I like the winter.
I can see that. Honestly, I did get the instinct to, like, go get a pitchfork.
To injure you physically, make more content per, like, a cycle of life.
Oh, I hope that by our 400th episode, you and I are hurting each other.
It's turned into, a battle.
Something really unhealthy, yeah.
Which would be great to have a physical fight on a podcast that no one can see.
Right.
They can only just hear what's happening.
Yeah.
We leave a lot to our audience's imagination because we find you to be imaginative people. We think highly of you, and that's why we do things this way.
Yeah, well, play to the top of your intelligence, you know what I mean? Assume the audience is as smart as you.
And they are. And they are.
They're so not.
ours are. Listeners. So this summer hit me like a ton of bricks out of nowhere, it felt like.
Okay.
Like, this spring, not that hot, right? And then about two fortnights ago, okay? That's 4 weeks. About a month ago, when summer...
Fortnite night. I wish there were videos so bad, because we're doing a lot of solid object work.
Well, and we're making faces at each other. Our eyebrows are going crazy places. It would be very entertaining for you guys to watch. One day.
I feel terrible doing so much of the podcast episode about us doing a podcast.
We'll get better at this. But also, maybe people love it. You never know. Maybe people love it. So I feel like it was spring. It was not that hot. And all my Chicago listeners right now, remember, it was like overnight summer came. It was spring. Mm-hmm. Then like overnight, it was like 390 degree days in a row.
Yep.
90 and humid. And I just feel like it hit me. And, like, the weather felt so overwhelming, and it just, I feel like, brought all my feelings just right up here. Like, I've just been, it's just been an emotional summer.
You feel like you're so hot that it's making you emotional?
Like, the weather has felt overwhelming, I have felt overwhelmed, and it has made everything feel overwhelming.
Gotcha. That makes total sense to me. Yeah.
Like, it's like my, I have, you know, a busy schedule. I like being busy. But then plus the weather, like the weather has been so hot that I've been exhausted just from the moment I wake up. And then it's just like, oh, everything feels a million times harder moving through this humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've just been trying to accept this weather. And I didn't feel this way last summer. This I think is my third summer in Chicago, and this one, I'm like, not feeling this one.
Yeah, I think last summer was maybe not as hot and humid so often. Yeah. From what I remember, that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember last summer being like, love it, everybody loves the summer, so do I. I love the summer as well. Look at us outside in open-toed shoes, not throwing on jackets. Like, look how easy life is, how beautiful, how green. I love it. I see what people love about summer, and I see that and raise you. I love summer. Yes, and.
You know what's wild? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you.
Oh, last summer, the weather was so nice, and my mental health was the worst it's ever been in my entire life. So
we switched places.
We did, yeah. Like, I remember constantly being like, it's so beautiful outside. This all sucks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Someone asked me the other day, how you doing, Amelia? And before thinking, I was like, I am hanging by a thread. I am hanging by a thread. Well, just this weather.
Yeah, and I'm
fully blaming it on the weather.
Oh, that's fine.
It's the weather's doing it.
Do it.
And if my emotional state persists come fall, I will find another scapegoat. Believe me.
Then you can people think of seasonal affective disorder.
Is that what it is? Yes, seasonal
affective disorder. People talk about that usually associated with winter, but I think that in general, like, the concept, is this, I don't know.
No, this is.
I bet some people get depressed in the summer is what I'm trying to
say. That's right.
Like, based on the weather.
You and I live in proof, baby.
Oh, you're right. There it is.
We
sample
are
size of two, baby.
Sample size, two podcast hosts. And that's all you need.
And that's all. And it's kind of just our opinion.
And you know what? That's cool. And by the way, you know what? Our pod should come with, like, a medical warning that nobody should take this.
Yeah.
Like we're not licensed in any way. We're just two guys.
We think you should take our word for it.
We do.
Everything we say
that.
Is a call to action.
That's true. The duality of everything. And, like, at the same time that we're 100% joking, unless you want to take it seriously, in which case, you should listen to us seriously.
Thank you.
We're both joking and deadly serious.
And deadly. Actually, yeah.
Other ones.
So yeah, that is funny that the weather is worse this year, but I'm doing pretty well mentally, and suddenly you're not.
I'm sorry for you that I'm doing so great.
It sucks. Anyway, I'm so happy. I can't even imagine what you're going through.
Yeah, well, you know what, before this pod, and I know I'm not supposed to talk about what we say off the record, but Maria did say, oh, this last fortnight, pretty good emotionally. Not really any emotional injuries to share this time around. Oh, I can't actually think of anything that upset me emotionally these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't really remember ever being upset.
Can you?
What's it like?
Can you reach for it? Can you? It's something that's just a mild upset.
Like, what's funny? I actually do have a really big one that's not fun. Like, I got into a huge fight with a loved one, so I'm like, I can't talk about that on the pod.
Oh no, I'm doing great except for that gigantic problem that we're not mentioning.
Right.
Except for the huge thing that's taking up all my time. That's not pod worthy.
Not pod worthy, baby. But my other day to days have been good.
Listen, I'm doing so good, except for this million
friends. And I'm going to make you feel bad about feeling bad, but I am doing bad.
Oh.
It's just life, man.
Oh, yeah,
you
had
a good day, then you have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and one thing I've been saying to a lot of people this summer, one day at a time, baby.
Okay.
One day at a time. Each day.
O-D-A-A-T.
O-D-A-T.
O-D-A-T.
Oh, dot.
Ooh, you know what my favorite one of those is?
What?
Yoga Whippy.
What's that?
You get out what you put in.
Wow.
It doesn't Yoga totally Whippy. Work, but I do like it.
You get out what you put in. I mean, that's true.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Please talk about emotional
injury. Well, no, but you know what they say. Matter is neither created nor destroyed.
Oh.
So you only get out what you put in. You can't get out what you're not putting in. You can't. Yeah. Matter can't be created that is not put in. That's science.
Okay. Just a little science.
And that's just a little bit of science that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Forget who figured that out. Honestly, there was a scientist that figured that out.
It has to be one of those big ones, right?
I saw a meme the other day that was like, listen, if I was like an ancient philosopher, I would have thought that. I would have also thought of that. They were just the first people to think it because there's not
there were other people.
Yet. Yeah, no, there was not a lot of people at that time. Like, I've had that thought cross my mind too. I just didn't think. I was just not pretentious enough to write it down.
That's so funny. That is wild to think. Like, does a random teen TikToker right now have more complex thoughts than Plato, just based purely on their time period?
They say each generation is more evolved than the last, you know? Who is they? I can't name anyone.
Same guy that said the thing about matter also said
it was an unverified meme account on Facebook. So I'm trusting it in the same way you should trust our pod. But no, I mean, that's my emotional injury is just this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's come at me way too fast, way too strong. We not really talked about it. We're not on the same page, like me and the weather.
Yeah, you're not vibing.
not vibing. And it also made me kind of realize, like, I do think cold weather grounds me more. Like, I just feel like this summer I've just felt like a balloon not tied down to anything.
Untethered.
A helium balloon. Maybe not even helium. Just like, imagine like a balloon, no helium, just kind of rolling down the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
What color?
I'm thinking pink, honestly.
Got it. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
My head. Like, do you ever feel
like a plastic
balloon rolling down the street, no one to tether you? Nothing to tether to.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say is, when I was a child, I had a fever. My hands felt just like two balloons.
What is that?
It's
what?
Pink Floyd. That's where I thought you were going for justice.
I thought you were going to say, when I was a child, I had a fever, and the only prescription
was Tylenol.
But, yeah, that's my physical and emotional injury for this week.
That's too bad, because summer is famous for fun, and it's not, it's a weird experience to be like, everyone's having fun, but I'm not.
Well, I mean, but it's also like, everybody's having fun, and I'm already up here. I have no space for more anything.
More things. Too busy.
This is actually a summer that I'm learning how to say no, and it's a very, very crazy time.
That's a great spot to be in your fucking comedy journey, dog.
To learn how to say no?
Yeah. Oh, I'm too booked.
Imagine.
That's you, dog.
Yeah, right. No, right. Yeah, I am just such a, I'm down. You know, like, I really am. I'm, like, down, generally.
That's true. I'm not kidding. That is, you are down to clown. I truly mean that. Amelia is down to clown.
Like, what's your idea? Like, you trying to get a small business off the, like, what are you doing? Let's go. You know, like, that, I like that, and it brings you to cool places in life that you don't expect, whatever. Having to exercise the no muscle, mm-hmm. has, and I think that's what's been upsetting me, is that, like, this, yeah, like, this summer has been overwhelming, and there's just literally too much, and I'm having to be like, no.
Well, good for you for learning to say it, though. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. And to learn how to say it without offering something in return, you know, like, if you can't do it, not going like, but let me find a time to reschedule to in like 4 weeks. Do you guys plan that far out? Like,
yeah.
I'm a big calendar guy. Like, I'm a planner. Same. I have a physical calendar.
Same. No,
you
with
too.
With pencils. With
I do pen.
Oh,
which is crazy.
Lock in those plans.
Well, but sometimes I'm having to cross that shit out and write something new, and it's like, could be cool to have a pencil. But a pencil does kind of like, the lead gets all over the place, and then it's like, it's on your fingers. And anyhow, okay. I'm a big calendar guy, and I'm a planner. So I'm the kind of insane person who's like, 2 months from now, Wednesday, 5 p.m., you want to go
watch
to this
a
place?
Movie. Yeah.
Let's go to this place. But I'm also flexible. I'm using air quotes. I'm flexible in that, like, if we got to change it, move it around, you know, I'm cool with that. But, like, let's get it on the books,
let's
baby.
Let's go to the books, baby. That way I don't do a different thing that night.
Right. That's so I can prioritize this. And then if we got to switch it around, then we got it in there. We got it in ink. You know, I like writing it down in ink. But I've also found that the concept of planning anything that far ahead is some people's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, no, I can't next week, actually. But in 3 weeks, yes, I can. And you just don't hear back from that person.
Because they're like, I have no idea who I'll even be there.
100%. It's like, I absolutely, because they're taking, you know what they're doing, Maria? Hmm. They're taking it one day at a time.
Oh, that.
Which, by the way, is where I'm at now. It was like, I was always like, what's so hard about scheduling something 4 weeks in advance? And now I'm like, oh, I see now. Mm-hmm. I see now. Just, no, I'm not thinking about 4 weeks in the future. I'm
thinking about today.
I'm living today.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
dear listeners, beautiful. Don't forget to ODAT today.
Yeah. And also don't forget Togo Whippy.
Yoga Whippy.
Yoga Whippy.
To get out what you put in.
To out get out what I put in.
That's been the injury report. Amelia, thank you for joining me.
I think Maria, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.